Okay, great. Hey, everyone. This is Pat Reinhardt from Conductor. I'm the Director of Digital Strategies, and thank you all so much for joining today on this inaugural edition of 30-30, which is 30 minutes on the last 30 days in search, social, and content for Conductor customers. Here we're going to keep you, no longer than 30 minutes, and maybe, maybe a little shorter at times because we want to leave questions. But here we're just going to cover a few topics that I feel, are pertinent to the organic search space, and we're going to do this on a monthly basis, and it's going to be awesome. So let's get going. So what we're going to be covering today is exactly what we just said. What happened in the last 30 days, that really makes sense. Of course, more than this happened, but we're going to focus in on these five topics. And those topics were Google takes a stand against giant app interstitials, Google rolling back on Panda 4.2, Google may be using structured markup in the algorithm them in the future. Facebook is finally developing a dislike button, which is fun, and we'll have a little bit of a discussion on that. And also, Google laying the smackdown on repeated webmaster guideline violators. Just to call out where the sources are, this is all from Search Engine Land, Wall Street Journal, and Fortune.com. So thanks to them for all the great content. So, let's start with the giant app interstitials. This is actually a really interesting one because Google is saying that it no longer will allow these humongous app interstitials that take up an entire page on your smartphone to be mobile friendly. Now, why is that a bad thing? At the end of the day, Google is all about user experience and Google is all about content, right? So from there, this change, it doesn't affect all app interstitials, but what it will do is it will make the user experience much better on most sites. Much like when Mobilegeddon came out, that was Google bullying people into changing the way that they built their websites. This is no different. Again, I had said this, and some people who are signed on are clients of mine, and you've heard me say this before, that Google, that Mobilegeddon had really nothing to do with mobile rankings. It was really them dipping their toe into the user experience and the design of everyone's site. So with that said, this is another step in that direction and just another step in me being a little bit justified in saying that. And what is this going to affect? It'll appear in only mobile search results, so we don't have to worry about desktop here. Native Apple-supported smart banners and Google Chrome-supported app install banners are still mobile-friendly, and I'll give you an example of that in a couple of minutes. And only app ads that block content will cause a mobile ranking decrease. So again, this has nothing to do with display ads. This has nothing to do with AdSense banners. This is only those interstitials that when you go to yahoo.com and it tells you, hey, install this app, and then takes up the entire screen, those are what Google is talking about here, and they will no longer be mobile friendly. So what are examples? And the two examples that were given in the article were really straightforward and great. You can see that here, this interstitial covers the entire page after you get there from the SERP or the search engine result page, and this is not mobile friendly. What will be mobile friendly, which many of you may be doing, will be, you can see that the app interstitial on top is fine, and there's also ones that are on the bottom which are used a lot. These will still be mobile friendly because they don't cover off on most of the they don't cover most of the content on the phone. That's what Google wants. Webmasters to do. They want to make sure that users can see the content. They don't mind if you have an app interstitial. They don't mind if you have that ad saying, hey, install our app. They just don't want you blocking the content before the user can see it. And also, they don't want the crawlers coming in, seeing these interstitials, and then leaving. So it's really about user experience here. And again, another step in the direction. So with that said, what's our take on this? It is a bold move by Google because it directly affects websites promoting their apps, and that's another way of Google getting in your way as a marketer. But at the end of the day, listen, no one likes these app interstitials. I certainly don't. When I go to a website and one of those things pops up, I immediately leave, and mainly because most of the time it slows down my phone, causes my browser to crash, or just makes my experience really bad. Google definitely agrees with this because when it does things like this, again, this is them kind of bullying their way in and saying, we really want you to do this, and so to get people to do that, what's the easiest way? To tell them it's going to affect their rankings, and that's when people will start to listen. So I would imagine that we will start to see a decrease in the use of these large interstitials. Now, what should you do? If you think that you're at risk here, you should go use one of these tools. And all of these links, they're not clickable within the presentation, but this will be available afterwards where everyone can get all of these URLs where you can go, is use Google's tools. They have the mobile friendly test, which will literally tell you if things are mobile friendly or not. And there's also an area within the Search Console where you can use the mobile usability test. And that's how you can figure that out if your site is at risk or currently falling outside of this new guideline. Again, this is going to start on November 1st, so we're getting there. It's already October, so if you think that you're at risk, you want to get on that right now and start to fix that because your mobile rankings will suffer. So the next update is a little interesting to hear because Google is saying, webmasters rather, are saying that Google may have been rolling back on the Panda 4.2 update. So we know that this started to roll out about 2.5 months ago, and it is still going. It's worth noting that this update is still rolling. You know, many webmasters are getting, are coming in saying that all the gains that they saw at the beginning of the update have now rolled back, and they're actually seeing their sites go back to pre-update levels. Which, if you've been in a situation where you've had an algorithmic penalty before, and you feel that you're coming out of it, you would feel pretty terrible if you were rolled back into it. So with Google introducing this, it's a page-by-page rollout, and this is Google, again, getting the Panda and Penguin updates more real-time, and the Penguin update, in real-time is supposed to roll out by the end of the year, and I think that's what this is. This is Google doing what they do. While it's a site-wide action, they said, it might not affect all pages within a site the same way. Some pages may suffer more than others. So again, this is Google moving away from these site-wide blanket algorithmic penalties and really starting to hone in on page by page, which is probably why people are saying that they're rolling back. Because at the end of the day, these changes are going to happen because they're trying to make it better so that we don't have to wait a year to come out of these penalties. This is a good thing. It's a good thing to see them doing this. And why is that? It's because this is what they have done historically. At the end of the day, they're shifting their infrastructure to make these things more real time. This is good for people like us. This is good for marketers because when one of our client sites may have an algorithmic penalty, in the very near future, we won't have to say, Penguin rolls out once a year. Well, Panda rolls out once a, this one took 10 months to roll out, but before that it was once a quarter. Now we're going to have a little bit more of a reprieve here. We're going to have a little bit more of a, hey, if we do these tasks, we'll be able to fix these things in real time. And as Google discovers it, we'll be able to fix them along the way. So this is historically exactly what Google does. They test, they tweak, they roll back changes. You can find tons of articles of them rolling back on the last, 2 or 3 Panda updates. So this is something that should not be worried about. What can you do? At this point, with Panda affects your content, right? If you have thin content, if you have content that isn't necessarily, really up to par, or you feel that it's a little bit spun or a little bit outdated, then what you want to do is continue to make good content. You need content that's worth reading and sharing. That's what Google's looking for. They want you to treat your website like you treat your house. Take care of it. Make sure that what you're doing is above board and within their guidelines. It's much easier to work within the box that Google is now than try to work outside of it as once was a fairly known practice. So this one's actually very interesting and very exciting if you ask me. So John Mueller from Google said that over time, I think it is something that might go into the ranking as well, and he was referring to structured markup or schema data being an actual ranking factor. So what does this mean, right? So structured data, if you don't know, or schema markup, it's a type of data that can be placed on a web page to display very specific details about that page, right? So you can do, you can call out things like reviews, and these are all things that you guys have seen before. So you can see reviews, Amazon has these all over their site. You can do prices and stock levels, and you can even do events. Now, there are many, many more that you can do, so these aren't the only three. These are just the most common ones, but at the end of the day, Google, if you have these tags implemented onto your site, Google may display them and award you what is called a rich snippet. Now, I emphasize may because Google does not have to show them. So if you implement these things, it does not mean that they're going to show. But if your site is authoritative and if it falls within Google's guidelines, there's a better chance of you showing up for these things when you have those codes on. So Waiting for the slide. So what's our take on this? This is awesome. And to be honest with you, this is something that's been discussed for a very long time in many, many circles. And, you know, I've personally said it a lot that, you know, I think that it should be included because I think people who take the time and people who actually learn how to do it properly and use the proper codes, they should be awarded for that and not from just from a rich snippet standpoint. I mean, right now, it may even be included in the algorithm. This may just be, you know, more smoke and mirrors from Google. But at the end of the day, rich snippets are a great way to call out your organic listing. So paid ads have all these different features that you could do, right? You can control every single facet of a paid search ad. Organic, not so much. What can we really control? The title tag, the meta description, the URL to a degree. So if we can have something that helps us call out, you know, something to our user and be like, hey, we have a 4-star review. Hey, we have these in stock. Here's a price that, you know, may be of interest to you. And then we have a good enticing message from the meta description. They're more likely to see it, number one, and they're more likely to click on it. Because as it's been proven, when these rich snippets are in place, then your click-through goes, you know, does much better than when they're not. So what should you do? Implement it. You know, learn how to do it. You know, there's a lot of documentation that you can refer to for these things. And it's really not as hard as it once was. Google has a lot of tools, especially for events. Google has a data highlighter tool within Webmaster Tools that will actually do this for you. So it's not as hard, not as scary as it once was. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of opportunity for site owners here to do this. So it's definitely something that if you're not thinking of, or you haven't been doing it or dabbling in it in the last couple of years, it's definitely something that should be on your roadmap, definitely should be on your radar. And now let's get to a fun one. So Facebook is finally developing a dislike button. Why are we talking about this in something when we're talking about organic search? We'll get to that in a minute. But at the end of the day, the real point of this, as described by Google, is that, you know, every emotion and every post on Facebook isn't necessarily a good one. So they want to have people be able to express empathy, you know, for something that may not be the best of news, because they don't want people liking bad news on Facebook. So they're saying, you know, this is what we're going to do to kind of cater to that. So why are we bringing this up? It technically right now has nothing to do with organic search, right? It doesn't. You know, I'd be lying to you if it said it does right now, that this is a big deal in organic search. But at the end of the day, I believe that much like, because social media and organic search, they do interact with one another in so many ways. You know, the more shareable, the more tweetable, the more likable your content, the more chances that you'll have to build authority, build links to back to your site, and ultimately boost your organic search campaign. I believe, and you'll see it in a couple of minutes, a couple of our customers also agree that this will definitely start to play a factor at some point. So for example, say you create a great piece of content and it's shared and liked. That's awesome. You ultimately gain better rankings because links are created, because more people see the content, and social markets increase awareness and the authority of that piece of content. Great. Good job. So this could open up the door for content that gets disliked and have kind of the same effect, but in the other way. You know, because if users find it unhelpful, off-topic, or offensive, they could dislike it. And, you know, and this is kind of apart from the empathy piece, because I can't imagine that Google's going to come out with a dislike button, quote-unquote, and not actually give you the ability to dislike something. You know, they're not going to have just empathy. There's going to be a million different emotions about this. Anger, you know, sadness, yada, yada, yada. So at the end of the day, this could start to work with you in the other way, where if you get a piece of content that people don't like and they start disliking it, I could imagine a world where Google would say, hey, this piece of content has been disliked so much that we are not going to rank it, and we don't want to give it authority, and we're going to associate it with a brand, and that if they have a certain amount of things that are disliked or a certain amount of content that people don't like, then we're not going to give them as much authority. Don't be foolish. Google will do things like this. And, you know, of course, this is speculation. It's totally speculation. And we actually have a great article of it on our blog, which is here, that you should go check out and read. And, you know, there's a lot of opinions about this. I sent a company-wide email out about this, and we got a lot of chatter going on. And we got some great takes from our customers. So Lisa Weinberger from Vitacost said, for overall brand awareness and recognition, I think having dislikes on posts will give community and social media managers more data to use on showing which types of Facebook posting their community likes and dislikes. The dislike button could also help content creators when brainstorming topic ideas and choosing which content format types they may want to invest their time in creating. That is so true, and it's such a great statement because, again, that is a different view on this, but it's still a positive view on this, and also it's directional. Marketers can use this as directional, the type of content, and brands can use this as directional as the type of content they should create and push towards their users and towards their customers. And Joseph Haslam from Education Dynamics had a great viewpoint as well. Will dislike become a ranking signal of some sort? Yes. Yes, it will. Even if not explicitly incorporated into an SEO signal, it will be found with social signals, and people will steer towards higher rated entities. You choose. Make dislike your best friend, or choose and become relevant. I like it, and I like what he says here because it's a stake in the ground. You know, this is gonna become something, and if history is any teacher, we all know that when Google does something, they rarely don't, or at least they start to, you know, talk something. You know, they rarely ignore big industry updates like this. So when Facebook announced this, you can bet that Google's cooking something up. So it's definitely not something to be quote unquote worried about or concerned about or thinking about right now. But when this launches, people should start thinking, you know, marketers should start thinking, you know, what type of content are creating, and is it likable? Is it shareable? And then the next one may be, are people going to not like this, and will that negatively affect our brand image? So something to think about. Okay, so one that I personally love right now is that Google has announced that people who repeatedly violate webmaster guidelines and get manual penalties will get stiffer penalties as they go along. So if you have one manual penalty and you get out of it, and then you get another manual penalty, that second manual penalty will be harsher and stiffer than the first one, and then so on and so forth, and as they go along. This I love, and I got to be honest with you, you know, it's another fight against spam, and as an SEO and as a career SEO, you know, battling against people who refuse to work within Google's guidelines really, you know, really hurts us and really hurts us as practitioners when we're just trying to do everything right, above board, white hat, and, you know, we still kind of lose out sometimes. So I think this is another stake in the ground for Google saying, you know what, people who are repeat offenders are going to have stiffer penalties. And I think that's fair, because if you come back and you say, you know, when one of us gets a manual penalty, if anyone has ever had one on this phone, you know how hard they are to get out of and how, you know, how they could decimate your business. And at the end of the day, you know, it's really good to think that, you know, Google is at least giving, you know, throwing us a bone here. They're at least showing us a little sympathy from the SEO end, and they understand. And the good thing is that, you know, less spam is good. You know, spam is not good, and Google hates spam more than anything. So this only applies to webmasters who have received manual penalties before and, you know, going forward. So if you have had one before, be mindful of this. Do not buy links. Do not start doing things that are outside of Google's guidelines. Do not participate in things that Google do not want you to do. This is a warning. This is a shot across the bow from Google. Do not continuously violate our webmaster guidelines, or else you're going to get hit with harsher penalties. And if anyone on the phone has ever been through a reconsideration request process, you know how hard it is to get out. You know how time-consuming, costly, and taxing it is, especially on your business when you're not even ranking for your brand. You know, so stricter penalties for people who aren't doing it right, good. But for people who have been hit in the past, it's something to think about and something to worry about. And this is something that has started right now. So be wary. Be very wary of what you do. You know, if you're going to try to do something to gain rankings, always think, hey, am I doing this on the right side of the fence? And if not, this is a reason not to do that. And with that said, you know, the take here is, and I said it already probably, but this is a good thing. It's a little bit of a worry for some people because, again, if you've been hit before, not because of anything that you've done wrong, but maybe you hired a consultant that, you know, wasn't doing anything above board. Maybe you were trying some things that may be a little outdated. That happens to everyone. But at the end of the day, this is something to, you know, really be feared, to be completely honest with you, because Google, at the end of the day, you know, they don't, you know, they care about paid search, right? They're not looking towards SEOs as someone who, as people who are going to make them money. But they do understand that they're part of their community, and they are starting to care about us a little bit. And at the end of the day, this is just another way that we can, compete at least against people who are using black hat methodologies. So, you know, what you should do is, you know, continue to work within Google's guidelines. Stay within that box. Stay within that wheelhouse. And then, you know, it used to be a lot easier. SEO is not easy. You know what I mean? It's a much bigger entity than it once was. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And any of my previous clients who are currently on the phone know that I've probably said that to them 150 times, but it's still so true. It's a marathon, not a sprint. Hard work and patience will go much farther than shady link building and shady practices. So those are the top five things that I want to cover today. Those are the things I think will make the most impact. We have some questions, which I will get to. And also, you know, for ongoing discussions, you know, also visit our blog on a daily basis. We put out a lot of great content. Had to put some kind of plug in there for Conductor. So at the end of the day, let's get to the questions. So I'm just going to open this up. So, will dislike empathy buttons be enabled for business and brand pages? That is a great question, and that is not one for me to answer right now, because honestly, I'd be lying to you if I said that I knew. I think that Facebook is going to release a lot more details on this going forward, but at the end of the day, we don't know a lot about it right now. I think that's going to be one of those things that we find as we go along. And, you know, again, you know, just to reiterate, you know, this is going to be something that's going to be new territory for everyone. Again, when, you know, liking's been something that Facebook has put out since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Facebook. So this is going to be a whole different facet, a whole different way that we can interact with Facebook and its audience. So at the end of the day, you know, as we find out more about this, you know, and as these monthly webinars go along, I'll be updating on previous entries if anything is worth updating. And then, so at the end of the day, keep a look out and keep joining every week, and we'll continue this discussion. Another good question, when will Panda 4.2 finish rolling out? That is a great question. My guess at this point, since it's probably going to be by the end of the year. I would think by January 1st they're going to be rolling this out because, and this will be something that we cover a little bit more in depth next month, you know, right now they're saying that the real-time version of the Penguin algorithm will actually be launching by the end of the year. So I would think that they're going to want to have both of these things done and dusted around the same time, and I can't imagine that Google's going to let an update like this roll out for 6 months. I would think that by the end of the year, it would be 3 or 4 months, which is still a very long time, don't get me wrong. I would think that would be the timeline for that. Oh, here's another great question about authorship. All right, authorship tagging is back in the news. What are your thoughts on the impact it will have in the future? Great question. So as everyone knows, or maybe not, authorship tagging was actually taken away by Google, or at least its benefits were taken away by Google a little over a year ago. It was probably more than a year ago, actually, but, you know, a long time ago, where, you know, if everyone remembers, if you had authorship tagging, you had little headshots, you had little pictures of people, of the authors that linked back to their bio page or to the article. They were great, and to be honest with you, I actually really liked that. And I think it's great that they're thinking about bringing it back. Now, this is something that, you know, is very, very vague right now. They kind of said, yeah, well, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we may use that again. But let me tell you, when Google says we may not, you know, usually when they say, yeah, we're thinking about it, just like they did with the structured markup, my guess is that they're definitely going to do something with authorship in the future. So if you still have authorship tags on your site, I would leave them there. And if you've taken them off, consider putting them back in, because I think in the future, they're going to be something to do again. Here's a good one. Oh, this one's fun. Nice reference about the SEO being a marathon, not a sprint. Any take on the next Google animal? How about Google Goat? I mean, for that one, my guess is that they'll stick with the black and white theme, and it will be the Google skunk, as I have said in many, many, many other presentations in the past. So that's my guess. Google News, how significant is the news keyword tag? That's a great question. So for Google News, it's still extremely important. And if you are a publisher or someone that syndicates content or someone that is a news-related site, I would think that you would want to keep the Google News tags in there because they still use them. You know what I mean? And that's how you get into the Google News feed for, you know, or at least, you know, signal that you have a Google News feed. And I would think that, you know, if you're using them, Is it the end-all sale? No. Does it help? Absolutely. Any signal that you can give Google that you're doing something and that you want a result from it, you know, structured markup and schema data are the exact same thing. So at the end of the day, you know, I would think that if you have that lever to pull, pull that lever. And I would say that about anything. You know, if it makes sense to do it, do it. If you have the tag, use them. Okay. Can you go over the webmaster issue again? Absolutely. So in Google search, and I'm just going back. So actually, which one was the Google webmaster issue? If anyone could, whoever asked the webmaster issue again, if you could clarify exactly what you're asking about, that would be great. I just want to make sure I answer it properly. You've cleared your client on mobile. Do you think Google will sunset Google Plus by 2016? That's actually a great question. And to be honest with you, I'm surprised they haven't sunset it already. I mean, they still have a lot of active users, but at the end of the day, not a lot of people refer to Google Plus. You know what I mean? We're not, you know, we don't really have a lot of Google Plus conversations. Every time someone brings it up to me, I always say, you know, really, once Google My Business, you know, kind of took over local, and I know that still has something to do with Google Plus. Don't get me wrong. You know, I think that, you know, as Google breaks more pieces of Google Plus out, they are going to move away from it, and the platform will ultimately, you know, sunset. By 2016, probably not. I would think that that's probably a little soon. I think within the next 2 years, we won't be talking about Google Plus at all. We probably won't be even able to use Google Plus, much like Google Wave, if anyone remembers that. I think that had a much shorter lifespan. But at the end of the day, I think that this is, you know, Google Plus is something that is on its way out. I think it's definitely on, you know, in the twilight of its life. But at the end of the day, a lot of great stuff has come out of it. Google Hangouts have come out of it, you know, and, you know, Google My Business came out of it. I think, you know, when they combined the two platforms, it was a good idea. And I think, you know, they're breaking it out right now, and they're keeping the parts that work. So at the end of the day, I think that makes a lot of sense to say that within the next 2 years, I think it's going to be gone. Now, is that going to happen? I can't say, but who knows? What is your take on schema tagging, and how much value does Google place on it? Great question. And, you know, we covered a little bit of it before. I think schema tagging, you know, when it first came out, schema tagging was really new, it was shiny, and a lot of people were like, oh, you know, what do I do? But it was very hard to code in. You know, over time, they've made it a lot easier, and, you know, they have so many different tags that you can use. I believe that, and I said this years ago, I think that this is going to continue to gain more prominence and gain more favor for Google. And the slide that we said before, you know, talking about schema tagging, when they said that it was going to be, you know, something that they're considering adding to the algorithm in the future, I think that justifies that, right? You know, someone coming in saying, you know, from Google, a higher up at Google saying, hey, you know, it's like we may add this. And like I said, when they say we may add this, that means they've been probably thinking about it for years. My guess is that it's going to, you know, year to year, it's going to get more and more important. And as more people adopt it and more people use it, Google is definitely going to use it as a sign. So I would place a high value on it from a user experience position, but from an actual, you know, from an actual ranking factor right now, I don't think it's in there yet, but I think it's coming. So I would put a very high value on it. And I think Google does too. Thank you so much for clarifying. Kind of fast, since I'm asking, sorry, as best I can remember, right after the mobile. I want to make sure I answer it. So right after the mobile. Yes. Sorry, just looking for it. Yeah. If you're talking about this one, if it's about the mobile thing, what you can do in Webmaster Tools, then that would be the search in the Search Console. There's the mobile usability test, and I hope I'm answering the question properly, where you can see if your mobile experience falls within their guidelines. And, you know, right after that, that was the best. That was the only thing I mentioned the Webmaster Tool. So you can always email me after this if it's a specific question. I'd be happy to answer. Okay, we have time for one more, and it looks like. What type of penalty will I receive if I have a full page app interstitial? That is a great question. So from that perspective, I would think that you will get an algorithmic penalty. I don't think you're going to get a manual penalty. I'd be shocked if Google put a manual penalty on you for that. My guess is it'll be algorithmic, and that you'll just have to, once you take care of it, it'll be lifted. Okay, great. So we're just about at the half hour. Everyone, thank you so much. For all the people that we didn't get questions answered, so sorry. Feel free to email me at preinhart@conductor.com, and I will answer any and all of your questions on this. And keep joining me every month. I'm going to have fun doing this, and I really appreciate everyone's time. So everyone, be safe out there in the wild of Google, and we'll see you next month. Take care.